Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning to make my words faithful and concise, that we all may be a blessing to you. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible has many, many great stories, and we know many of them. Our children learn them in Sunday school classes. There are many very amazing, wonderful stories in Scripture, stories that relate truth, morality, or growth, maturity, especially, though, the stories relay God's sacrificial love for his people. As we have learned as a congregation, especially over these last 2 years, stories are incredibly important in the life to us as individuals and to us as the body of Christ together, the church. I love to read the great Bible stories throughout Scripture. I'm sure you have your own favorite Bible stories. Many of us do, don't we? Believe it or not, we heard one of, at least a portion of, one of my favorite Bible stories this morning. Surely none of the readings that we had were a narrative-style story to tell, were they? But like I said, there was a portion of one of those that is a part, a larger part of one of my favorite stories, and I'll explain. The Old Testament books of Exodus through Deuteronomy tell an amazing story. They tell the great story of the people of Israel, the Jewish people, being delivered out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt, finally taking residence in the promised land of Canaan. It's a long and amazing story of God's love, of security in him, of his patience to his people. And it serves as a constant reminder. God is constantly reminding his people over and over and over again that God has miraculously delivered them. He has miraculously delivered his people from 400 years of slavery and oppression in Egypt by the parting of the Red Sea. He destroyed their hotly pursuing enemies. He provided food and water for them miraculously. He guided them through a desert wilderness. And then he did eventually bring them into a land of their own. Though the land which they entered was a land full of extreme idolaters, those who would worship anything and everything other than the one true God, these pretend gods called Baals. Well, the people of Israel aren't satisfied with the way things are going. So immediately they begin to grumble and complain, and at one point even asking God to take them back into slavery in Egypt because at least we knew what to expect. Because of that continuing grumbling, complaining, disobedience, and sin against God, he gives them those two great and constant reminders throughout this story. He reminds them over and over and over again, you are not Egypt. You are not the slave anymore. Neither are you the slaveholder. You are different. And he also gives them that great hopeful reminder for the future that you are not the extreme idol worshiper either. You are not the extreme idol worshiper that lives in the land of Canaan. You are different. You're not the slave in Egypt. You're not the idol worshiper in Canaan. You are different. You are my people. I chose you. I love you. You are different. I love you and I am here for you. Listen to me. This is that Old Testament story that I love so much. Mostly because it describes me so well. Truly, I think it describes many of us so well, doesn't it? I'm not the hero of the story. I can't even place myself as the hero of the story. I cannot be the hero of this story. And even though I know that I've been delivered by the Lord, that He's brought me through the difficulties of my own sins, the sins that have been committed against me as well, that He's provided for me when I needed it so much, even when I didn't realize that I needed it, He's provided. He's brought freedom from who I used to be, gives great hope for who I will be, and all of this is happening in who I am right now. The story of these books of Scripture, Exodus through Deuteronomy, describe us so well. God spoke to His people through Moses. Moses is sort of the main character, if you will, of many of these stories. God is the main character, but Moses is the leader of Israel. God speaks through that prophet many times in many great ways, saying, remember. Remember the great rules. Remember the commandments. Because these commandments, these statutes, these rules, these laws that I have given to you, they're important. They help you. They're there for you. The commandments reveal who we are at our most human. That I am a sinner who needs God's grace. These rules aren't arbitrary or just made up. These rules aren't there because God wants to control us. These rules, these commandments are a gift from God so that our sins can be revealed. So that we have a moral guide and so that we have correction for when we get off track. And in God's reminder to the people of Israel, over and over again, through that great prophet Moses, there's a great verse with incredible hope in what we heard this morning from Deuteronomy. Chapter 4, it's verses 6 and 7. Riley, can you put that back up on the screen for me for just a second, please? Verses 6 and 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Scroll on to the next page, I think. One more. There we go. Verses 6 and 7 say, keep them. Keep the laws of God, the commandments of God, and do them. For that, doing and keeping the laws, will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people, all the people around you, the other nations, the extreme idolaters. Will be wisdom and understanding in the sight of the peoples around you who, when they hear these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And Moses continues, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? Okay, you can take it down. What great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? The Lord our God is near to us. That's a promise. That's an unbreakable promise. Now, like I said earlier, our family has certainly felt that the Lord is near this week. In the midst of heartbreak, the Lord is near. During trials, the Lord is near. Pain and suffering will always be in the world, though it's great hope that those who know the Lord have experienced that the Lord our God is near through the difficulties. Despite my sinful nature, the Lord is there through the difficulty. The Lord is there through pain and suffering, through the loss of life, through the loss of innocence, The Lord our God is near those who are sad and lonely or depressed. The Lord our God is near those who are sick. The Lord our God is near those who need him. So most of you know that I'm a native Kentuckian. And you know, I was born and raised in Kentucky, lived there for the first 24 years of my life. And you know, even though South Carolina has been home for the last 20 years now, still love my old home state. I know we have several native Kentuckians here today. There are some visitors that are here from Kentucky, and there are actually also, I don't know if you knew this, there are several, there are more than a few native Kentuckians who have been members of this congregation for quite a time. Well, any good Kentuckian knows the name Stephen Foster, and many of you probably do as well. So Stephen Foster, he's been called the father of American music, and he is the well-known composer and songwriter of that great anthem, My Old Kentucky Home, among others. There's a line in that song that really stands out and speaks to people who are going through the most difficult times in life, whether you're from Kentucky or not. It says, "By and by, hard times come knocking at my door. By and by, hard times will come knocking at my door. My old Kentucky home, good night." There's an acknowledgement in that old song, that the world, that in life, there will be pain and suffering. There will be tragedy and loss. There will be trouble and grief. Heartbreak. There will be circumstances that we cannot handle on our own. The world will give you more than you can handle. The hurt will be too much. We cannot save ourselves from suffering. We cannot deliver ourselves from the slavery of our own sin. The Lord offers great promise and hope through the stories of Scripture. Remember, you are not Egypt. You are not Egypt. You are not the slave nor the slaveholder. You are not Canaan. You're not the idol worshiper. You are different. You are chosen by God to follow him. Your pain and suffering is made well in the hope of God with us, Jesus Christ. All of our sins, all of our deserved punishment, taken away by the death of Jesus on the cross. He died for us to be made right with God. Our pain and suffering, our sadness and grief are redeemed, and our sins are forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ in his perfect obedience. God does not leave his people alone or abandoned to find our own way stumbling around in the darkness. The Lord goes with us in his word, through his stories, through our stories. And surely that is the grace that we need, and surely that is the grace that we experience throughout the hard times. Through the Bible, friends, God personally draws near to us, speaks to us in that word by his Holy Spirit. There is no greater or clearer communication than what God has for you than the words written in Scripture. The Lord our God is near to us whenever we call upon him. So near are his hands, as we are told in the book of Revelation, that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That is how intimately close our God is to us. That he would come down from heaven, die to save us, and in our sadness then cradle our face in his hands and wipe away those tears. Wipe away every tear of pain and sadness, of trouble and distress. We are not who we used to be. We are not yet who we will be. But we are saved by the grace of God. We are made right, washed clean by the shed blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.